Father, I just honor You for this moment. Lord, we honor You in this house. Spirit of the living God, we honor You in this house. King of kings, Lord of lords, Ancient of days, Rock of salvation, Chief cornerstone, we honor You in this place. Angels of heaven, we honor You in this house. We welcome You. We invite You. We need You. Angel of the Lord, we ask You to walk among us. Lord Jesus, we ask You, King Jesus, walk among us today, up and down every aisle, touching, healing, delivering, saving, forgiving. And we honor the perfect, sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in this house. Lord, we consciously, purposely, and deliberately honor the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. And we thank You, Lord, that today will be a life-changing experience, a life-changing encounter for all of us. We pray this, believe this, receive this in the mighty name of Jesus. And all those that believe, agree, and receive said, Amen. Hallelujah. What an honor to stand before You today. What an honor to be in this house today. It's an honor to be back with our family. Just watching what God is doing in this powerful ministry, brother. And I want to just say amen to the prophetic words and revelations that have been released here. And I believe that God is taking us into a place of revelation and reality to who we really are as men and women of the kingdom of God. And it's been amazing, as I have seen this morning, this flow of regality. And I'm going to just continue in that flow. Because this is a revelation of who we are. And this is what I want to pray today. That God will really open the eyes of our understandings. In Ephesians 1, verses 17 and 18, Paul the Apostle, a man of revelation, prayed. He said that God would grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of our spirit man would be illuminated, that we would know the hope of His calling, that we come into a place of revelation. There's a lot of great information. A lot of us know a lot of the Word by information. A lot of us know the Bible by illumination. We've had a quickening of our soul. We've been illuminated. But the deeper realm is revelation. That's of the Spirit. See, illumination is of the soul, revelation of the Spirit, and manifestation of the body. God wants to move us from the soul, spirit, to body. We begin to live this thing. This is why I love coming in this sanctuary. You know, Jan was prophesying, this prophet, Jan was prophesying about the regality and magnificent obsession and claiming what you're believing for. I just want to publicly announce what I'm believing for. Just as the court of heaven and you are my witnesses, Psalm 2 verse 8 is my obsession this morning. Ask of Me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Another version says, ask of me and I will give thee the nations. Oh, this stirs me. You know, all of us today are created in a unique facet of God. And like each one of us, there are certain things that stir us and motivate us and encourage us. And there are some things that's nice. Some things burn in us and some things, that's nice. And that's the way God created us. We're not all the same. We don't all have the same passion. We don't all have the same drive. We don't all have the same purpose, identity, or even destiny. But there is something in you that burns in you. There is something in you that stirs you. And I pray that God will just blow a fresh wind on the coals and stoke that fire in you today. That you begin to walk in the reality and the revelation of your true identity, destiny, and purpose. But I want to share something that I believe, I know, is who I am. And I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Philippians 3 and verse 20. And I want to pray today for impartation. I believe in the power of impartation. Because each of us are carrying unique revelations based on our personal passions. See, I have a passion today for miracles. I live for miracles. I live to see blind eyes open and deaf ears unstopped and crippled limbs go straight. I live to watch fibroid tumors dissolve in people. That's because that's who I am. That's what I do. That's what my wife and I do around the world in our ministry. This is what we carry. This is who we are. This is what we are. And we come on purpose today unashamedly saying, I expect every blind eye to open today. I expect every deaf ear to open. Now, I know for a lot of people that's unusual. Maybe it seems a little extreme. But when you begin to live in the realm of the supernatural, it's as natural as breathing. I'm going to share some amazing stories with you today to encourage your faith to believe. Not only for your miracle, and not only for the manifestation of your miracle, but that you can begin to walk in a new depth and dimension of the supernatural. Philippians 3 and verse 20. And I want to pray that God will command this to come alive in you and come alive in me. Because we've got to see it in our spirit. It can't just be something that we've heard or a concept or an idea or a philosophy or a religious terminology. It has to become a living reality. Philippians 3 verse 20 says this, for our conversation, now I'm reading from King James Version. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, verse 20 in the King James Version is very interesting. It says, for our conversation. Now, other versions say, our citizenship. I want to deal with that today. As we travel around the world, and we have just returned from 3 glorious weeks in South Africa, I tell people, I am an American. I thank God that I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American, and you should be too. I was born in this great nation. I live in this great nation. I have a United States passport. But my first and foremost loyalty is to heaven. First and foremost loyalty is to the King. No matter what nation we're born in, no matter what nation we live in, no matter what identification we possess, we are first and foremost citizens of heaven. This has got to become alive in you. It's not just an idea, a concept, a philosophy, or religious terminology. This is the reality. See, we've been taught for so long, and many have been taught for so long, that when we die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. We're taught that when we pass from this life, then we'll become citizens of heaven. Then we'll enter heaven. Then we'll enjoy the glories of heaven. But I have to say something. Why wait? When we see by the Word of God, please hear me today. I'm not going to tell you my opinion. It's what's written in the Word of God. He said, for our citizenship is in heaven. Not going to be. You're not going to become a citizen of heaven when you die. You become a citizen of heaven when you are born again. This has to become the living reality in you. Because you can only walk in the realm of revelation that you received. See, Christianity today is not a religion. Christianity is even beyond a relationship. Christianity is a revelation. Remember the great old hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton, the man who wrote that song, was not a blind man physically. It's the eyes of revelation. Christianity is a revelation. The eyes of our spirit are open and we see the reality of heaven. We see the reality of the kingdom. And to the depth of our revelation will be the depth of our manifestation. The more we see a thing, the more we can live the thing. For our conversation, King James, our citizenship is in heaven. But I want us to look at something. And I think the King James translation is very interesting here. When we understand this weaving together conversation and citizenship. Because our conversation talks about what we say. Our speech. Dialogue. We sit down, we have conversation. We speak with one another. We fellowship with one another. We talk to each other. We have a conversation. Communication. There's something here about our conversation in heaven. There's something about communication. The book of Psalms tells us that the angels of God hearken to the voice of God's word. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Tongues of angels? Angelic language? conversation is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven, representing the King on the earth. I want you to see something, if you would, in John 17. And I do want to encourage you, spend time in John chapter 17. It's one of the most dynamic chapters in the entirety of the Word of God. It's what theologians have penned as the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. We're looking at some of the final words before the cross. In John chapter 17 and verse 14, there is a dynamic revelation. Jesus is praying to the Father, and He says something about you and me. He says, Father, I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them because, here's the reason, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Oh God, show me this today. Open my eyes to this. See, now, normally when we hear preachers thundering this and pounding it across pulpits, it's usually in the context of quitting sinning. Stop sinning somewhere in your life. The revelation here is not about quitting sinning. It's about being awakened to the reality of who we really are. We're not waiting to die to enter heaven. We're not waiting to die physically to become citizens of heaven. This is the living reality of the born again man. This is who we are. Oh, church, I pray today that God will release something, impart something, activate something that will change us. Change us from just being church attendees or religious people or having a concept or idea of Christianity, but begin to live the resurrected life. Jesus made this statement about you. You've got to take this personally. He says, they are not of or one with the world, even as, meaning exactly, as I am not of the world. Wow, this is who we are today. Citizens of heaven. Now, as a citizen of a nation, I believe today most of us in this room are citizens of this great nation called the United States, or you may be a citizen of another country. There are rights and privileges associated to the citizen. There are rights and privileges associated to the citizens of heaven. But we have to know what those rights are. Because if you don't know your right, you can't enforce your right. What I love about traveling abroad to many nations is when we return. Oftentimes, returning to the U.S., there'll be a certain line. It will say, United States citizen. You get to take that line to come back in the country. There's something about citizenship. Citizens, not just of a nation, but citizens of heaven. This is what I'm praying today, that God will awaken something. God will illuminate something. God will activate something in all of us to take us to a deeper place of manifesting. In Ephesians 2:6, and I just want to lay out a few scriptures to build something today. Ephesians 2 and verse 6, and I really want you to see this. Because unless you see it, you'll never become it. You become what you see by the eye of revelation. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. The Bible says that you have been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now please understand something here. We're not talking about what is to come. Has raised us up together. This isn't allegoric or symbolic. This is reality, folks. You have been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is our position. This is who you are. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, there's a startling truth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man, any person, any human being, any individual be in Christ, he is, she is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new creation. A new species of individual that never existed before. It's an interesting scripture verse that we often hear around Christmas. It's Isaiah 9, verse 6. It's a prophecy concerning the coming of Jesus. It says, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government there shall be no end. How could that say he shall be called Father? We know theologically that there is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Or as we know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So how could the Word, how could the Son, how could Jesus be called Father? Because Jesus is not the Father. He's the Son. How could he be called Father? Because he's the father of a brand new spiritual race of individuals. So we don't realize that Jesus, according to the book of Revelation, is the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead. Even as Adam was the father of a race, Jesus is the father of another race. Adam was the father of a physical race. Jesus is the father of a spiritual race. That's how he can be called Father. We are a spiritual race. We are a spiritual people. We are citizens of heaven, walking the earth just like Jesus walked the earth. Oh, let this challenge you today. Let this challenge me today. God, open my eyes. I can begin to walk in this realm, because to the depth of the revelation will be the depth of the manifestation. And when you begin to live in this thing, brother, your life will begin to change. We'll begin to walk in the realm of spiritual authority and spiritual power like we've never seen. I am watching in my life in this season the manifestation of kingdom power and authority like I've never seen. I just saw one of the most dramatic deliverances, demonic possession I've ever watched in my lifetime. I've been dealing with demonic people for 33 years now. But there was a woman in South Africa about a week ago. This spirit in her began to manifest, and I have never seen the look of terror in the eyes of a person like I saw in her eyes. This thing saw the authority of heaven and began to scamper backwards to try to hide behind a palm tree. And the revelation of kingdom power and the revelation of kingdom authority and the revelation of being a citizen of heaven and the revelation of being an ambassador of Christ, I looked that thing in the eye and said, "Quiet and come out." Too often times people fight with and struggle with and wrestle with and argue with demonic powers. No, quiet and come out. That's how the master did it. Instantly, that thing came out and began to manifest as she began to throw that thing out into a pile of phlegm and mucus and nastiness. It's understanding, church. Because these entities, these demonic entities, oftentimes many sicknesses and diseases and germs and viruses and ailments and plagues and maladies and malfunctions and parasites, they recognize authority. We are walking in a season. I'm just sharing this because we are family here. We're walking in a season where I'm finding more and more people delivered from lupus than ever before in my lifetime. It's a foul spirit. Lupus is a devil from hell, I promise you. Take authority over that thing. People are being delivered from fibromyalgia, lupus. Stroke victims are being restored. We're watching some of the most dramatic, spectacular miracles. I stand before you today. God is my witness. My wife stands before you. We have lost count of the blind eyes we've seen open and the deaf ears we've watched open and the crippled limbs that have been locked that have been made straight in front of our eyes. Lost count. It's every night, every night, every night, every night. People line up from end to end to testify of the miraculous power of Jesus Christ. And it comes by ministering in the authority as a son of God. This is what God wants to stir in us today. This is what I want to pray God will deposit in you. That we'll begin to walk in this thing. I know, this is my obsession. I'm obsessed with miracles. You know why? Because they're people. Tortured, tormented, afflicted, diseased. I continually stand amazed as my wife and I travel what people live with. The pain and the paralysis, the growth, the tumors, the cysts, the blind eye, the blurred vision, the spinal cord damage. These people. I was ministering to a little tiny woman, South African woman. Tiny little woman. Her head was about this big. She had a scarf over her head. She was completely blind. And I felt the inspiration of God to take water and just put it on her eyes. I did that. And I took my little towel and I began to wipe her eyes clear. And when she said, "I can see you," the roof almost came off of the building. The people praised the living God. There was a woman that had suffered with a tumor in her chest since she was 12 days old. She came to the front and she began to cry. She said, "I've had this open, oozing sore in my chest, and now it's gone. Gone. Not better. Not the pain's gone. Not it's a little better. It's gone. Chase, we're watching this in front of my eyes. I'm watching God work supernatural miracles. Why? Understanding our position. Understanding who we are by revelation. This last spring, my wife and I were ministering in a very small village in the north part of England. It's called Orton. Orton, England. Small little village. And we had a powerful healing meeting that morning, and I said, if you felt the power of God, you felt fire, you felt electricity shock you, you felt a tangible touch of God, please come now. People began to come, and they began to line up across the front to tell the story. See, I love testimonies. You know what I've learned about testimonies? Number one, it brings glory to Jesus. And the Father is glorified in the Son. But these are people with an amazing story to tell. Because Jesus is not just a personal Savior. He's also a personal healer. And the stories of what people experience are amazing. There was a little woman. I would say she's probably in her early to mid-60s. She came to the front. She said, I felt the fire of God go through me. I said, what's been the condition? She says, my eye. She said, I was born with a blind eye that never formed properly. I said, we're going to believe God for a miracle. I laid my hand on that eye in the name of Jesus Christ the King. I took my hand off of that eye and she said, I can see you. Not only did God open that eye, I watched it. Her eyeball was like an egg shape. It was pointed at the top. It had never formed properly from birth. She's over 60 years old. I watched her eye change in front of my face. Church, when you see this, when you see miracles, it changes you. I am changed. Every miracle changes me. A few months later, we went to the south of France. We're preaching in the south of France, and exactly the same thing happened. A woman came to the front. She put her hand on her own eye. Born blind, her eyeball never formed. I watched it open and form. When this happens to you, brother, it changes you. I've watched eyeballs reshape in front of my face. I've watched it. I've seen people that couldn't lift their arm up any higher than this, all of a sudden completely free. Frozen. I just saw a man with a frozen wrist, couldn't move it at all. The power of God touched him, he's completely free. He had the look of absolute wonder on his face. Couldn't believe it. 1 second, it's frozen. The next, it's free. This is the power of the living God. This is understanding the work in a miracle. It's coming from the kingdom standpoint. Understanding our position in heaven. Understanding we've been raised to sit with Christ. Let me show you something. Most of us are familiar with the understanding that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father and where He ever lives to make intercession for us. Thank God He's making intercession for us today. But it's more than just Jesus praying for us. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, representing you, for you, as you. We're walking the earth, representing Him, for Him, as Him. Oh, and that comes alive. When that comes alive, you'll never pray the same. You'll never minister the same. When you realize the revelation of the ambassadorship that you are sent to represent Jesus, what's that mean? What does that mean to be an ambassador? What does that mean to be a representative? It means to do what He would do if He were here, because He is here. See, most of us have just failed to realize on a revelation level the reality of 1 John 4:4. We've heard it, we've sung it, we've declared it, we've decreed it. You are of God. You are of God, little children. What does that mean? What does that really mean? It means you're one with Him. Of means one. Of God, one with God, little children, and have overcome them. Who? The devil, the Antichrist. Because greater is He. Greater is He. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh God, awaken us today to the revelation of the God within us. See, oftentimes we hear things, we repeat things, we parrot things, but we haven't come to a place of revelation. John 10, verse 10, please hear this. Jesus said, the thief comes. The thief comes. The thief comes. Not maybe. He comes. He comes to steal and to kill and destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, the devil, like or as a roaring lion, roams around seeking whom he may devour. He comes. Jesus said he comes. He warned us. He said, the thief comes, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Three levels. But the verse doesn't end there. He said, but I am come. Oh, I like that. I like it when he said, I am come. Not I have come. I am come. Somebody's going to receive that today. I am come that they might have life, life more abundantly. Now, I like stuff. I like prosperity. I tried poverty. Prosperity is way better. But the word life doesn't just mean stuff. John 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have Zoe. Greek word, Z-O-E, Zoe. That they might have life. What is it, brother? It's God's very own life. That they might have Zoe, and Zoe more abundantly. What does that mean? That means I'm possessed with the life of God. Jesus said, you are filled with the life of God. I got a revelation some years ago. Let me share this with you. I pray this will help you. Theologians will tell us that a 14-year-old virgin girl named Mary had an angelic visitation from an angel named Gabriel who prophesied she would have a son. And his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And she said, how will this be? I've never known a man intimately. He said, the power of the highest will overshadow you. And that shall be born of you. Will be the holy child of God. She said, be it. unto me according to your word. And I believe when she said, be it, bam, was the moment of conception. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When she said, be it, she conceives by the Spirit the sinless Son of God. What happened? She began to carry God inside of her. Oh, you gotta watch this. She began to carry God inside of her womb. How many mothers do we have in the building? How many ladies have carried a child? You carried the child in you. Just as Mary carried God in her womb, we are carrying God in our spirit. When this comes alive, it changes everything. When we have an awakening moment, the old timers called it an epiphany. An epiphany is an awakening. When all of a sudden we come to a place of revelation and reality that I am a God carrier. Oh, people say I'm a God chaser. I'm running after God. That's nice. That's all good. But I'm carrying. Think about something. The Bible talks about the Ark of the Covenant. What was the Ark of the Covenant? It was a wooden box overlaid with gold where the presence of God dwelt between the wings of a cherubim. People say, well, what happened to the ark? What happened to the ark? It's buried here. It's buried there. It's in an archaeological dig. It doesn't matter where it is. The Bible shows us one in heaven in the book of Revelation. But greater than all that, I want you to see this. You are the ark of the covenant. Why? Because Jesus was. You see, wood is prophetic / symbolic of man, the flesh. Gold is symbolic, prophetic of God. Remember the wise men, the magi? When they came to the child Jesus, they gave him three gifts. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why did they give him gold? Why does it say gold first? This is no ordinary child. This is the God man. Their gift was prophetic and revelation. Gold is God, deity, frankincense, the priest, myrrh, the suffering prophet. Three gifts revealed the ministry of Jesus. God, the God King, the King God, priest, and prophet. Gold. Gold overlaying wood. This is what you've got to see. You are wood with gold covering you. What did he say? What did he tell us? He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I want you to walk out of here saying, I've got gold over me. I'm covered with God. I'm a carrier of God. This changes everything. Then you begin to realize why Jesus said what he said. Remember when John the Baptist came on the scene, seemingly out of nowhere? He comes on the scene and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, most people in the church world, they hear the word repent and they cower. They're waiting to get beaten. They're waiting to get hit. They're waiting to be struck. They're waiting for the lightning of God to come. Repent, you sinners. Wait. It's so much more than that, church. Repent simply means to change your mind. Get your mind from the guttermost to the uttermost. Think about this. Have you ever heard of a penthouse apartment? You ever heard of the penthouse suite? You know where it is? The top. When he said repent, he meant change your mind from here to there. What did Paul say? He said, set your affection on things above. Your affection, your spirit, your heart, your passion. Set it, fix it, lock it in to the things above. I believe too many believers are waiting to die to go to heaven. They're waiting to die to become more spiritually aware. God wants us to be spiritually aware here. Then you'll hear nice, cute little sayings like, now, brother, don't be too heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I would love to see someone that way. I would just love to see that. Can you just show me that? I would love to see someone so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. I believe that's the total dichotomy. God says to be heavenly minded. John the Baptist passes the torch to Jesus. Jesus picks up the torch. He begins to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark 16:18 reveals something. Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They shall lay hands. Why is this? Because your hand is a release point for the kingdom. When you lay a hand, you release the kingdom within. It's transfer. Jesus laid hand. We lay hand. You lay hand. You release. See, we can release the kingdom through our hand. We can release the kingdom out of our mouth. That's why when Jesus returns, the Bible says in Revelation 19, out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. It's the word. He'll speak the word. You speak the word. Release the kingdom through the word. Carry in God, church. Ephesians 2:19 says this. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, now, therefore, you are no more strangers, no more foreigners, no more aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Wow, I receive this. Lord, open my eyes today. Open my eyes, understanding the reality of the King and the Kingdom. Oh God, show me today. You know, many people, many young people, many older people, they say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. Can I just give you a place to start? Let me give you a place to start, because I found a treasure in the Bible. It says the steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. But see, many believers have adopted a posture of seating and waiting. And we've adopted a religious concept that I'm just waiting on God. When the idea of waiting on God is not sitting idle, it's service. They that wait, Isaiah 41, they that wait upon the Lord means to serve as a waitress or a waiter in a restaurant. Not seated on our blessed assurance. The steps of the righteous. I tell people, just do something. Because in movement, in the seeking, there's finding. I want to share with you and challenge you. I believe we need challenged. I want to challenge you today to ask God to give you one verse of Scripture that defines your life. No, not a book, not a paragraph, not a passage, one verse. Narrow it down. Narrow it down. Can you find one verse of Scripture that said, this is who I am? This is where you begin. Let me share with you my verse. Matthew 10, verse 8. You say, John, what defines you? Matthew 10, 8. See, what's that? Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. That's me. That's why I breathe. That's why I was born in the earth. This is what I do. I challenge you today. Start there. You say, I don't know what to do. Do Matthew 10:8. Start healing the sick, cleansing the leper, raising the dead, casting out devils, and you'll find your calling. You'll find when you set in motion the will of God and the Word of God. Let me give you one final verse and we're going to minister today. 2 Corinthians 5:20 is a verse, I believe, of definition. Paul said something by the inspiration of God that is defining. And every one of us, man, woman, boy, girl, youth, senior citizen, we need a defining moment. A defining moment where you step in to this place where you're unmovable and unshakable because you spent the time, like Paul, 14 years in the Arabian desert. You spent time in that desert place with God. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this now. I love to pound on this because now is in this moment. Not the age to come. Now. Faith is now. God is now. Your miracle is now. Revelation is now. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's place, in the place of Christ, here in the place of Jesus, now. Be brought back into fellowship with God. Reconcile. Be brought back into fellowship with God. Do you see it? Now. We are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? A direct representative. Given all the authority, all the power of the country by which they have been sent. Oh God, open my eyes. Church, this will rock your world. When this becomes more than just a sermon on a Sunday or a words on a page, but this is life. You're called, I'm called, we're called to represent the King wherever we go. All the rights, all the privileges of heaven are mine. Not by works of righteousness, not by my great deeds, not by my supreme holiness, or by my great consecration or sanctification, but by the work of the cross and the power of the empty tomb. Oh God, awaken us today. This is when kingdom authority begins to manifest. This is when demons begin to cry out when you come in the room. This is because they recognize a man or a woman who knows they have power and authority. Ambassadors, direct representatives, envoys sent on a mission to represent the King as if he were going himself. Oh man. You see, most believers still today are fighting, struggling, and warring with an illegal, unlawful spirit of unworthiness. Because we're still steeped in a lie. That we have sinned. We're sinners. No. You were a sinner. Now you're a new creation. Oh God, awaken this in me today. We got to stop blaming a guiltless man for the guilt of a dead man. You should look in the mirror today when you go home and say, you're not guilty. I didn't do it. There are believers walking around today blaming themselves for things they did never do.
Well, 30 years ago I did this.
When did you get born again? 6 months ago. Guess what? You didn't do it. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. Do we believe it? Do we believe we're born again? Do we believe we're a new creation? Do we believe we're a new species? Do we believe we're carrying God? Do we really believe this? Oh God, challenge me today. Challenge me today. To step into a new place. And you're never going to know until you step out of the boat. You're never going to know. Miracles don't just happen. Miracles are the direct result of someone's faith. I preached a message in a town called Crewe, England. Never forget this. And I preached on power and authority and citizenship and ambassadorialship. There was a little woman seated out in the audience, blind. I said, ma'am, do you believe that God will open your eyes now? She stuttered, she stammered, I hope so, I don't know. I felt the faith of God come up in me. Church, when you experience this, it changes you. I felt the gift of faith kick in. I stepped into another dimension. I looked her in the eyes, they were blind, and I said, you are going to see on my faith. That's radical. That's crazy. I stepped into that. I laid my hands on those blind eyes, and in the name of Jesus Christ, she began to see. I said, tell me what's happening to you. I said, look in the back of the room. Look around the room. Look, look, look. Make a demand. She began to look toward the back of the room. She said, I see a blue glasses case on that table. We began to rejoice. She began to notice things around the room. She looked across, all the way across the room. And she said, there's a painting. No, wait, wait, wait. It's the clock. And it's 10:20 on the clock. God opened her blind eyes, church. I watched it. People say, God doesn't do miracles. Too late. I've seen it. I was preaching this last July. Excuse me, June. This last June in the south of France. And preaching, brother, just encouraging the people, my interpreter and I, and preaching in the French language. And I'm on this side of the building, preaching. Not having an altar call. We're not ministering to sick people right now. We're preaching. And I noticed out of the peripheral vision of my left eye, a man began to wheel himself to the front in a wheelchair. We're preaching along. All of a sudden, I watched a man get out of the wheelchair. And he began to walk. That got my attention. I walk over. I said, "What's happening to you?" He said, "For 34 years, I've been bound in this chair. I never prayed. I never commanded. I never demanded. I never told a man to get up." The atmosphere of faith. The man wheeled himself to the front, locked those wheels, moved those little plates, and got up and walked and never went back to the chair again. That's supernatural. 34 years bound in a chair. He got up on his own and walked. What in the world? How does that happen? Faith. The power of faith that comes by revelation. We're preaching the miracles of Jesus. What happens? We've missed this. What happens? When you preach, faith comes. See, now I'm stepping into my passion here. Faith comes. Romans 10:17. Faith comes. I hear it. We're preaching the miracles of Jesus. Faith came. The man made a demand on his faith and got out of a chair. That's faith. When we begin to minister, church, in this ambassadorial role, in this citizen of heaven place and position, we're going to begin to see the miraculous. There's one verse of Scripture that challenges me. Maybe for you today, you'll be like, "Eh, that's nice. It's not for me." Maybe you're here. This will challenge you like it challenges me. It's John 14, verse 12. Jesus made the most amazing statement. He said, "If you believe." John 14:12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." What a verse. What a word. What a challenge. I believe Jesus is just challenging somebody. Will you believe this? Who will believe this? Who will believe this word? Who will take up this word? Who will say that this word, John 14:12, is just as legit as John 3:16? This challenges me. Greater. The same works and greater. Yes, Lord. I'm running after this. I'm running after this thing. Maybe you're here today. There's a sickness in your body, a disease, a germ, a virus. Maybe it's lupus. Maybe it's fibromyalgia, a cancer, a tumor, a growth. Since we've been here, we've been to Brazil twice, France twice. Scotland twice, England twice. Watching God work these miracles in nations of the world. In some places, pioneering miracles. People have never even seen a miracle. Releasing it, imparting it, and activating it. I was just in Brazil in August. And a woman came to the front completely blind, suffering from diabetes. The power of Jesus touched her and opened both her blind eyes immediately. I saw it. See, I'm trying to impart something to you as you begin to believe that one touch from Jesus through you changes everything. They brought a young man up to us, born with a blind eye. God opened that eye. He dropped to his knees and said, "I can see." Church, I can go on for hours and tell you testimony after testimony of legitimate miracles. Not because of a preacher, because of the power of the person of God, the Holy Spirit. Because of a revelation and a reality of ambassadorship, citizenship. Realizing it's been bought and paid for, and all we have to do is step in today. If we can activate our faith, we can leave here changed. In the power of Jesus' name. Maybe you're here today and you have a deaf ear. Ringing, constant ringing in your ear. Shh noises. People are telling me I had shh noise all the time, day and night. It's gone. Ringing in my ear, tinnitus, gone. Deaf ear, open. Tumors, gone. Two men came up to me in different meetings, in different churches, and said, "My hernia is gone. Not better. Gone. Can't find it." It's a touch of God, church. This is a supernatural touch of God. People are coming up in our meetings now over the last few years and they're telling me, "I felt a hand come on me. A hand touched me. A hand on my back. A hand. I'm feeling a hand touch me and I'm healed. Fire went through me and all the pain is gone." This is supernatural activity. Church, we are a supernatural people. I was preaching this last spring in Glasgow, Scotland. It was a Sunday morning. I'll never forget this. I watched a woman dressed in complete white outfit with a big aluminum crutch walk in the room like this. When you have a healing ministry, a miracle ministry, a passion for the sick and afflicted, you notice these things. I watched her come in and she sat on the side of the wall and laid her crutch down. They introduced me and I stood up behind a pulpit much like this and I was exhorting the crowd to believe God today. Believe for your miracle today. And I pointed my finger at this woman and I said, "Ma'am, if you will believe God, you can leave that crutch, walk out of that door, through that other room, up those stairs, onto the street, and never go back to that crutch again." All of a sudden, she got up. She walked out of that room, through the other room, up the stairs, out onto the street, came back down, and never went back to that crutch again. What is that? Faith. She believed the word of God. I just said, if you believe God, she did. Pastor wrote me some time later. He said, "You know the woman in white? Still completely healed." Church, this is legitimate. This is true. God wants to awaken in his body today the revelation of a supernatural like never before. This is what touches people. I'll give you one final story, and we're going to minister. There was a man in Brazil who walked to the front because he felt the fire of God go through him. I said, "Son, what has happened to you?" He told through the Portuguese interpreter, he said, "Tonight, for the first time," he began to cry. He said, I felt the presence of God. I said, what was wrong with you? He said, I had a chronic and serious lung condition. He goes, but tonight, I felt the fire. I'm totally free. He said, but I'm an atheist. God healed an atheist. And he gave his life to Jesus and became a born-again believer. Every miracle, every healing, every deliverance is the love of God on display. And faith works by love. Today we're going to move in faith. And we're going to move in love. And miracles are going to happen. You're in this building. I seal this word over us. I bind the thief and I release the anointing. In the name of Jesus. You might be here right now and there's a cancer, a tumor, a leukemia. It might be lymph node cancer. It might be cysts or polyps or tumors. God is here to heal you. See, how do you know that? How can you be so confident? Two reasons. One, I have the word on it. Number two, I have over 33 years of personal eye-to-eye experience. I watched it. I remember one night when God gave me a prophetic word. There are 10 women with tumors in their chest that God's healing right now. And they lined up, all 10. And all 10 of them examined themselves and they were gone. Sorry. If we will just believe. If you will believe. A young girl, 20-something years old, had carpal tunnel so bad she couldn't even hold a brush in her hand. Her mother had to bathe her. Her mother, she's 20-something years old now. Her mother had to do everything for her. She could not even hold a brush. She stood there with a look of astonishment on her face as she was completely healed. I just saw this. Says all we have to do is believe. And when you're ministering to people, just build their faith. And believe God. Every deaf ear, every blind eye, every crippled limb, every locked limb, shoulders, rotator cuff, collarbone, tennis elbow, cyst tumors, fibroid tumor. I just saw a woman that was in a rehab. I preached in a rehab in South Africa with addicts. There was a woman, she said, I felt the fire go through me and I'm healed. I said, what was wrong with you? She said, I had a spinal cord injury. I was beaten by a man. He beat me so bad he injured my spinal cord. God touched her. She was completely free. I just watched this. Church, I'm telling you today, just believe. All things are possible. You can't move your shoulder. You can't move your arm. You can't bend. You can't twist something. You're going to in just a few moments. I want us to believe together. Right now. A heart condition. Heart palpitations. Hole in your heart. They brought a little boy to me in Tulsa who had an incurable heart disease. The doctors didn't know what it was. They looked at this little boy's parents and said, do not let him do anything. He could just die. How do you tell parents this? The boy came to the front. God touched him. He felt the touch of God. He went back to a doctor. 2 weeks later, they signed a bill of health. He's free to play all sports. The touch of God. I want to believe with you today. Lung condition, breathing problems, spots on your lungs, spots on your liver. Accidents, injuries, crashes. Spinal condition. Maybe you're here today and you've been suffering with migraine headaches all your life. Paralyzing. One touch from Jesus. One touch from Jesus. So if you're here today, you say, I need a miracle. I need a supernatural touch of God. I don't care where it is, what they've called it, what they've named it, what the doctors have said, what their indication or their prognosis or their diagnosis. Let's believe God. If you believe with me, I want to ask you to do what I have seen countless people do now. In many nations of the world. I want to ask you to just take a stand for me right now. You need a miracle. Just please stand where you are. We're going to believe God. And this is what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to raise your hands to heaven. And I want you to say this out loud. Lord Jesus, you are my healer. I come to you today. My faith is in you. My hope is in you. My eyes are on you. You paid the price. You were beaten for me so I can be healed. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you now to heal me, to deliver me, to free me. I believe it. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, right now, as an act of your faith, those that are standing, those that are believing, this is what I want you to do. And I'll tell you why. As an act of your faith and a point of contact, I want you to take your left hand and place it on your body. Doesn't matter where. It's a point of contact. It's an act of faith. And I want you to take your right hand and lift it up high. And I'll tell you why right now. This is what God has shown me. That when you touch your body, you're touching earth. And when you reach your hand up, you're touching heaven. And right now, you're going to bring heaven into your earth. It's going to transform your earth into heaven right now. So let me just minister to you right now. So just get ready to receive. Your hand is on your body, a hand toward heaven. And in the name of Jesus Christ, as an ambassador of the King, as a messenger of the King, Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of the living God, I take the authority. I step into my office in the kingdom. And I command. And I demand, as a messenger of Christ, every foul, unclean, evil spirit, every demonic entity of sickness, disease, germ, virus, ailment, plague, malady, malfunction, and parasite, I command you, by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of the living God, I order every evil entity to be fully bound up in the name of Jesus, and I cast you out, loose God's people, and let them go. I release the working of miracles. I release the gift of faith. I release the gifts of healing. I release the healing virtue. I release the miracle virtue. I command every sickness to die. Every disease, germ, virus, ailment, plague, malady, malfunction, and parasite, I order you to die. Come out. Come out. Loose God's people. You blinding spirit, come out. You deaf and dumb spirit, come out! You devil of cancer, I cast you out! Leukemia, come out! I order in the name of Jesus Christ, you foul spirit of fibromyalgia, come out! You devil of lupus, come out! I cast you out. I cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, every crippling spirit, arthritic spirit, come out! Arthritis, die! Every locked limb, be loosed! Hips, move in place. Pelvis, move in place. Rib cage, shift in place. Neck, move in place. Coccyx, tailbone, shift. Sciatic nerve, loose. Accidents, injuries, shock, trauma, come out. Loose, God's people. In the name of Jesus, I command every blind eye to see, every deaf ear to hear, every frozen body part be freed right now. I release it, impart it, activate it, and seal it under the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And all those that agree, all those that believe, all those that receive, say amen right now. Right now, I'm going to count to three. When I say three, I want you to activate your faith and begin to do what you could not do. Move what you could not move. See through what you could not see through. One, two, three. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Just begin to move it. Begin to move. Begin to see. Begin to look. Begin to hear. Begin to listen. Make a demand on your body right now. Make a demand on your leg. A demand on your knee. A demand on your back. Make a demand on your sight. Look, 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 look. God is touching you. The power of God is here right now. We're moving by faith. We're moving in faith. We're moving in love. Faith works by love. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith without works is dead. Oh, yes, God, we're believing you right now. We believe in you right now. I believe right now. I believe in miracles right now. I believe in miracles. I believe that the ringing in the ears has stopped. I believe a rushing sound in your ear has stopped. I believe the pain in your neck, frozen neck, is released. Just begin to move it. Just begin to move it right now. I encourage you, check for a tumor. Check for a growth. Check for it. Check for it. Begin to search yourself. Begin to see that it's gone. In the name of Jesus. Faith makes a demand. Oh, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We honor you. We magnify. Right now, I believe right here in this moment, I believe many people have felt a touch of God. I believe many people even here today have felt fire go through your body. If you felt fire, can I just see your hand up high? I felt fire. Anybody feel a fire go through you? Felt a fire through you. You felt fire through you? Brother? Did you have something going on in your body?
Well, I've been having like, it's called popping scapula, and it's like right there whenever I do that, it would dislocate my shoulder.
Yeah?
And it still pops a lot though, but...
So right now you felt something happen?
Yes, sir.
You felt a fire go through here?
In my head.
So Father, we seal this today. This thing is gone. It's never coming back. We seal it under the blood of Jesus and we command it never come back again. And all those that agree said, amen. Somebody else saw fire? Anybody feel a fire go through you? How about like electric shock, a power, like a power source? Anybody feel that today? Anyone feel like a wind come over you? A wind, maybe like an oil? A hand touch you. Any type of manifestation on your body at all. Maybe you're here right now and you can move what you couldn't move. Is there anybody here that can do it? Honey, something's happened to you today?
This arm. I had a problem because I had an accident right here in my bone. And I couldn't move it. Now I can move it better, you know. Thanks, Jesus. Praise God.
Father, we thank you. It's never coming back. We decree and declare 100% perfect. In Jesus' name. The shock, the trauma is gone and never coming back. In Jesus' name. Just take one more moment, honey, if you would. Just move it for me one more time.
Now I can move it like this. I couldn't move it like this all the way. But now I can move it like this or like this.
God be the glory,
church. Amen, amen.
Father, we seal this miracle in the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Never coming back. In Jesus' name, church. Come on. God is working miracles here. Let's just believe. There's one right there. There's one right here. Let's just believe. I believe someone else has felt something. You can do what you could not do. Just make a demand on your body. Someone else is being touched here. Deaf ear. Any deaf ear in the building? I believe God will open that deaf ear. Is there a deaf ear in this room today? How about a blind eye? Is there a blind eye here? I believe God will open it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for touching your people today. And those that need a test or an exam, let them have their test. Let them have the exam. We believe it's gone. We believe whatever it was will never come back again. And Lord, I want to pray right now for impartation. Lord, impartation for every person that's here in the name of Jesus. And I want to ask you, there's no coercion here. There's no manipulation here. If you would like to receive laying on of hand for impartation, activation of this message, I'm just going to ask you to step out and come. And just let me be a vessel. Just lay my hand on you to release this to you. That you can begin to walk in this revelation and reality like never before. If you want this, just quickly come. We won't take a long time. I know the hour's getting late. But I want to lay my hand on you. I believe in what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 11. He said, I long to see you, that I might impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end you might be established. That's my heart today. To impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end you might be established. Lord, I pray for establishment today. Lord, these are your wonderful people. These are the people for whom Christ died. And I'm praying today, God, this will be a life-changing moment, a life-changing impartation, a life-changing activation, that we're going to step into a new realm and a new reality, honey. Come on up here, honey. That's right. There's plenty of room for all of us up here. Just come on up here. Father, I pray today to just simply be your vessel, to pour in, to activate, to release, to cause to come alive in your people. This revelation, citizenship, ambassador, representative of the King. And I lay my hand on